Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomé River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
God bless all you Blood River Radio people out for holding on tonight. You know, I'm just going to briefly recap what we did the last hour because, as you know, Monica, people that listen, Tamara's phone was cutting in and out real bad. We tested it today. We tested it yesterday, and it was great. I don't understand what happens to this live radio. But anyway, we had Miss Tamara Goodwin on. She was kind of like the star. Her son, Jacob Goodwin, all 6'7" of him, and all 24, I guess he's about 24 now because he was arrested it was fallout from the Battle of Charlottesville. He was railroaded in a kangaroo court for just defending himself. He's been there for 4 years. He got at least three more years to go, unless he can get out for some other reason. Believe it or not, I see connections. I see patterns. Miss Monica Schaefer, who's on tonight, even though it's across the water, like my grandpa used to say, this all fits together. Monica's a white European. We're white Europeans. Jacob Goodwin's a white European. Daniel Borden, who was jailed. Charlottesville, wherever Monica was arrested, it all fits together. We're all being persecuted all over the world, all white people, because you know what? They don't want us just persecuted. They want to kill us. That's what we did. That's what we did the last hour. Now, what we did, Monica's going to stay on. She's agreed to come on, stay on for another segment or two, however long she wants to stay. And we just picked up Gene, Mr. Bitter Ender himself, combat Marine, Vietnam. And like I say, I'll tell you what, you may think I'm joking, but it's not too far off, folks. Gene didn't surrender. That's why I call him the Bitter Ender. Lee surrendered, Jackson surrendered, they all surrendered. Well, I think as Stonewall was dead, he probably would not have surrendered. Nathan Bedford Forrest, they all surrendered. Gene hasn't surrendered. Gene still has his sword, and he ain't beaten no plowshare neither. He's ready to do combat. I've seen it. He's not violent. He's a Christian, righteous man. I respect no one more than I do Gene. And I tell you what, I would not want to get him riled up because I wouldn't want to get up close and personal with the Bitter Ender because he would clean your clock. And he's also a former history teacher. He's an expert on the Civil War. And you know what? He was in Charlottesville. You know how I know? Because I was there. That was my first job as a field reporter for Liberty News Radio. Sam sent me up there, got my press credentials for me. I was like Gene. I thought we were just going to be up there and get entertained. We were going to go see, I think, the Hermitage. I think where Jefferson had his plantation. Maybe Arlington National Cemetery. We're going to see all these wonderful things. But things didn't go to script, did they, Gene?
No, they did not. And, we went over there. Well, we drove up there. There were about five of us that went. And we got up there and staying at a place outside of Charlottesville. It wasn't a motel. It was like a church camp or a little, retreat, different cottages or buildings. And we had a briefing that night before then, and Dr. Michael Hill told us what to do the next day and how to conduct ourselves and that we were supposed to go in there and stay together. And one thing he told us, and they said, do not drive over there by yourself. Make sure that you've got a car full of people. You don't want to get separated and have one person, because we knew that Antifa, the communist terrorist group, was going to be there. And I've been in protests before with them or been out where they were before. And before, all they did, they had megaphones, and they'd holler and yell and scream and chant and everything. And I didn't know that it was going to turn into an all-out war. But he was warning us, don't get off by yourself. And that's what happened to that boy in that car, that all those animals were climbing all over his car and breaking out the back window with axe handles, and he jammed it in reverse to get out of there, and they say that's when that girl got hit. But I don't think that happened. From what I've heard from the coroner's report, she died of a heart attack, and it was just a super hot, steamy day. And so that's another big lie that the fake news media has told us. But anyway, so we had that meeting that night, and then we drove over there to kind of scout it out and see where we were going to park on Friday night. And we saw these temporary metal fences that they set up, about 3 or 4 feet high, And we figured they had it divided off. And they're, okay, we're going to be over here on this side, and Antifa's going to be on that side, and there's a gap in the middle, and the police are going to be there to keep people apart. And so we had a permit, and it was from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we figured, all right, we'll go here and make some speeches, and they'll be yelling and hollering and make fools out of themselves like they always do. And we got the rest of the afternoon off. So we were talking about, as somebody said, have you ever been to Monticello, Jefferson's home, right outside of Charlottesville? And I said, no, that'd be a cool place to go. I'd like to go see that. So that was our big plan, to do our little nice, peaceful talk in front of General Lee's statue and then go to Monticello. As you said, it did not work out that way at all.
Nope.
And we got over there and got to the parking garage, and everybody got there, and helicopters were flying around, and they had National Guard and state troopers and all kind of the government spies were checking us out, and all sorts of nonsense like that. And I'll tell you this, and I've told dozens and dozens of people that ask about that when they found out I'd been there. This was a set up deal by the government. There's no two ways about it. They planned this. They planned this to make the alt-right or conservatives or League of the South or pro-Southerners or anybody that they hate and despise, that are white people, conservative, religious, they set this up to make all of us look just as bad as they possibly could. And then the lying cur dogs in the media lied about it and made it look like the conservative people were the ones that started the fight. And that's a complete lie, complete fabrication. And I know that shocks you that the media would lie, but it was totally wrong. Because when we left that parking garage, and it was about about 3 or 4 blocks over to where the park was, we were attacked out in the street before we ever got to Lee Park. And that Market Street, they had parked, they knew it. They had this thing all set up, and they had all those big trucks for the news, TV crews, those big two-axle trucks with the, like the big box on the back, and then has the big dish up on top. So they were expecting a riot going on. And they had those things down one side of the street, so we only had one lane to go down through that street. So we were funneled down through there and just perfect targets for the Antifa thugs to come out there and attack us before we ever got into it. And we had to run a gauntlet through them just to get into the park. And then that slimeball mayor of Charlottesville and his worthless no-count police department and the rotten governor, that Terry McAuliffe is running for governor again, who was had been a member of the Clinton crime syndicate, they set it up with fencing around three sides of that park. So once we got in there, we were trapped. There was only one way to get back out, to get back on Market Street and get out of there. So now we had to fight our way up about 5 or 6 steps to get into the park, and now we were targets for glass bottles full of nails and screws, bags full of feces and urine, pepper spray, tear gas. This stuff was just flying through the air. It was like an artillery barrage coming in on us constantly. And luckily, there were some nurses that went with us, and they had milk pouring it in people's eyes. Their eyes were burning from that pepper spray that they'd been hit with. So we're dodging all this stuff that's flying through the air and coming into the park. And then I hadn't been there not even an hour yet. And they make the announcement that Governor McAuliffe has declared, the Commonwealth of Virginia has declared an emergency, and your permit has been revoked. You have 2 minutes to clear the park. So now the police and the Virginia Highway Patrol start doing something. Now they've got, up till now, they've just been standing around with their thumb up their rear end, not doing a thing, and letting us be targets of this barrage that they were laying down on us. They hadn't done a darn thing. The police were absolutely worthless. And now, though, they jump into action. So they put on their Darth Vader helmets and their shields, and they start literally pushing us out of that park. And there's a wall about 4 feet high there to get in there, and it's like a retaining wall, and then the ground slopes up to the park. So the only way in were 2 sets of steps at the corner of each end of the block. So now you had to get all these people either down the steps or jump and jumped down 4 feet to get to the sidewalk out on the street, and people were getting separated and down side streets and everything. And so now we had to fight our way back up Market Street to get back to the parking garage. And this is when a lot of our people were attacked out in the street. This is when that worthless bunch that George Soros brought down there in the buses, and we saw the buses for these Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks. The blacks got real brave, you know, when they could run off the sidewalk and attack you from behind. So the march I was making, or the walk, retreat, whatever you want to call it, back to the parking garage, I was walking backwards to try to protect our people from behind. And I had my flagpole with my Confederate flag on it, and I was using that as a spear to hit these blacks that were running off the sidewalk and trying to hit our people from behind. And I caught a couple of them right in the chin. So hopefully they had to go to the dentist Monday. But anyway, then that's when Rich got hit, because I had my back turned and I was kind of looking over my shoulder, and I saw him go down and was going back up there to get him. And I didn't know he'd gotten hit, because I was looking in the opposite direction to keep us from being attacked from the rear. And that's when that kid that was a black kid that said he was attacked in the parking garage by all these evil white supremacists on boo-hoo, oh, and GoFundMe account and all of this.
That was
DeAndre
Harris.
But I'll tell you what really happened on that when we come back off the break. That's another media lie.
Yeah, that was that scumbag DeAndre Harris. People will be right back, and Gene, we're going to let Gene keep going, because, man, he's on a roll. Be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you deserve some money. Well, dear people, we were being taken to school once again by the schoolmaster himself, Gene, the former history teacher. He still is. He gets better with age. But that lady he was mentioning earlier, her name was Heather Heyer, that supposedly got hit by a car. She did not. You know what? She was, I don't like to aspire to the dead, but she was grossly obese. Even her own mother said that later that she had had a heart attack. The coroner said she died in a heart attack. That man was trying to get away. I knew him. Sometimes I know his name. Sometimes I can't. But anyway, go ahead, Gene.
He had come down from Ohio, and he made the fatal mistake of being in the car by himself. And when all this broke up, he was trying to get out of town. He wasn't running through the protesters or the Antifas. He was just trying to get the hell out of Dodge. And they were the ones that shut the road down and started climbing on his car and beating his car and beating out the windows. And that's when he jammed it in reverse to get the heck out of there. So, you know, that, of course, they didn't show that. Every time they show Charlottesville, they show that car backing up. But they don't show. They cut it off. The media is such a bunch of lying snakes. I just, you know, want to throw up every time I mention them. But they always cut it off before they show these animals climbing all over his car and smashing the windows out. They just show him backing up. Like, that's all he was trying to do, was just run over people. And he was just trying to get out of there.
Well, they would have killed him, Gene. Huh? Gene, he's lucky they didn't kill him, because they would have killed him.
And if they could have got him out of the car, I guarantee you they would have. Yeah.
I grew up in the South fighting for my life in South Memphis. I know how those black savages, those, like you call them, feral animals. I know how they are. I've dealt with them all my damn life. Monica, you said you had a question.
Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, wow, Gene, you had me on the edge of my chair listening to the story in the first segment there. Honestly, that was just gripping. Thanks for relating all that. You know, one thing, there's a common thread or a sort of a theme that kept popping into my head through that whole story, and that's that this was set up. That, first of all, there was a permit. Okay,
yes,
so they knew something was going to happen. There's going to be a gathering of people to protest the taking down of monuments. Which,
yes, ma'am.
Hey, that should be absolutely, you're right. Everybody, I mean, you're wanting to preserve your history, and these monuments shouldn't have been torn down. And so people gather to protest that. So you get a permit. You're doing everything, quote unquote, the right way. And like Eddie says, we shouldn't need a permit. We have the right to assemble. That's part of our basic human rights. So, but, you know, get a permit, that's great. So everything, but the permit, in my view, for protests and gatherings like that is more to alert the police that they will protect the protesters. Isn't that the way it should be? Isn't that the way it always has been? I mean, I've been at lots of protest demonstrations, and yeah, the police are there to protect the people who are there so that you can assemble and let your voice be heard. That's supposed to be our rights. Now, everything that you described sounds to me like they planned for altercations, they planned for there to be violence, even just the scene where you're trapped on three sides and there's only one way in and out of where you ended up. Everything, I mean, you had to battle your way in to this area. Everything sounds to me like it was pre-planned, that there would be altercations, that there would be violence, and of course the media, who owns the media, who owns and controls the media? It's the Jews. They control the narrative. If you own the media, you control the narrative. And so that is, I don't know if you call it the fifth column, they are a huge part of this war. And you know, earlier I was saying, well, we're in a war, but I always think of it as a war of words, a psychological warfare and whatnot. But in this case, it really was a war, like with violence, and they are waging war on the white race. I mean, there is just no doubt. I think a person really has to be with their head in the sand not to see that. Even the normies of the world, those people who have not yet woken up to the fact that we're being lied to at every turn, you pretty much have to have your head in the sand to not understand that there is a war against the white race happening. So that's really my comment. And, oh, actually, you know, there's one question I did have. Like, if we just maybe didn't get permits to gather and assemble, do you think that would make a difference, that maybe then they wouldn't be alerted in advance and be able to set up, go there with all their Antifa and BLM folks, Black Lives Matter folks, the communists, the thugs? What do you think of that?
Well, the thing was, we had so many people there and so many people making reservations, and so much of this stuff is flying around on the internet. Okay, we got to be here at a certain time. Or can I ride with you? Or who's going to drive here? Or we're going to get buses? It would have been out that something was going on. And so what they would have probably done was just stop us from even getting close to the park, or have us attacked even further down the street by the Antifas, because the Antifas are working with the liberals and the Jews and the communists, and that's their enforcers, like the mafia has. You know, you don't pay off the mob, they come around and beat you up or burn your business down. Well, that's what this leftist group, communists, Democrats, whatever you want to call them, those are their enforcers, like Guido the Leg Breaker with the mafia. They use Antifa and Black Lives Matter to attack. And so they would have had them ready, regardless of whether we had a permit or not. And, you know, maybe a dozen people out there with signs would have been okay. We could have probably gotten by with just walking up and down the sidewalk and handing out leaflets or flyers or something like that if it were really low-key. But when you have that many people there, I guarantee you they had this set up to bring in their yeah. thugs, their stormtroopers, whatever you want to call them, and attack the white conservative people. There's no doubt in my mind about that. That was set up from the get-go. That mayor and the governor in Virginia, that Terry McAuliffe, that was, like I said, he was part of the Clinton crime syndicate, so I'm not surprised at all that he was engaged in criminal activity to have us attacked. And they were hoping they were going to kill some of us and say that it was our fault that our people got killed. And we were lucky we didn't get people killed. But when all the stuff that was flying through the air and being attacked with the clubs and baseball bats and things like that, and the only thing that saved us, there were a bunch of young guys that went, and in their 20s and 30s, and they had shields and the riot helmets with the face mask and everything, and they were able to fight back and keep us from just wading into the unarmed civilians, men and women, and just beating our people to a bloody pulp. And those young men, like Matthew and some of those other young guys like that.
Jacob Goodwin that we just talked to his mother before, yeah.
Yeah, they were the only ones that saved us. And it would have been catastrophic if they hadn't been there. So they were.
And you're right. Thanks. You're right that if some people had been killed, like if people on our side had been killed, they would have found a way to make it still be our side's fault, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's how they do it.
Absolutely.
They do word magic.
Who would contradict it? Because the media would take their story and run with that, and we could say, no, that's not right. That's not what happened. And number one, we would never get on a national outlet. Even Fox wouldn't allow us on there because they missed it. They called it a riot and all this stuff like that. And you know they were impugning the alt-right or the conservatives, and they got it. Even they got it wrong. And so there would have been no way that we could have ever told our story out in the mainstream media, on television, or any, of course, newspapers, forget those, anything like that. That they would have repeated the set-up narrative that was supposed to explain how these white supremacists and the Klan members and the Nazis and all this stuff came in there and disrupted this peaceful little college town and started this whole thing. And that's another lie. They were talking about the Klan bit. I saw the people in Lee Park. I never saw one single person there with any kind of Ku Klux Klan paraphernalia on, not one. And the media lied about it. And I never saw anybody there with any kind of swastikas or Nazi things or anything like that. That's another lie the media told. And so they just make up stories to fit their narrative, and the truth be damned. They're not going to tell the truth. So,
and even
anyway,
so, even, yeah, those symbols, of course, they're all weaponized, aren't they? Even, you know, even if there had been KKK paraphernalia or swastikas, those just have been so weaponized so that's what makes them be so bad, you know? But they're not. Like, that's the thing. It doesn't represent bad stuff.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Guys, we got to go to a break, and I can't wait to get you two back. Folks, hang on. We got Gene holding court. We get Miss Monica asking questions and contributing. We'll be right back.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The new eviction moratorium should not be blocked, Department of Justice lawyers told a court in a filing on Friday. After two federal courts deemed the nationwide eviction pause unlawful, and the Supreme Court indicated that only Congress could extend the ban or put into place a new one, the pause expired and no moratorium was in place. The Biden administration said they were constrained by the court rulings, but abruptly changed course on Tuesday.
We're not going to lock down our economy or our schools because our country is in a much stronger place than when we took office, thanks to the president's leadership in vaccinating the American people and getting an economic relief to those who need it.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. The U.S. government has been preparing for the possibility of the virus evolving and becoming more difficult to deal with. In a briefing last month, she said Biden would support states if they went into lockdown again. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
7 in 10 New York residents say that Governor Andrew Cuomo should resign immediately due to sexual harassment allegations, and a majority also believe he should be criminally charged, a new poll has found. The Quinnipiac University poll conducted August 4th and 5th found that 70% of New York voters want the three-term governor to resign and leave office immediately. As ominous storm clouds gathered in western Colorado over a large area blackened by a recent wildfire, torrential rain fell and the charred land stripped of vegetation gave way, sending a rush of mud and boulders tumbling down steep canyon walls onto I-70. Chuck Decker with the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Pretty big burn scar up above where we're at, and it's been carrying a lot of water every time it's been raining. Like this last week, we had a pretty big event, maybe a 500-year event that carried 5 inches of water, 5 inches of rain.
This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
People, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do to keep us on the air. Listen, Gene made a couple of comments I'd like to comment on. He talked about the young guys with the shield wall. You know, that is so true. Those guys fought, most of them, to exhaustion. We had some in the kind of like the barracks with me, Gene, Matt, Simon Roach, and Rich were staying. There were a bunch of young guys. They testified that night. One of them was like 6'5", 215-20 pounds, not an ounce of fat. They fought until they were exhausted, because even though as strong and young as they were with these shields, they were greatly outnumbered. But they did. Had they not been there, I promise Gene is not exaggerating at all, there would have been murder, because we were so outnumbered. We couldn't get away. We were trapped in this one guy said it was like a kill box, and kill box going in, kill box going out, and we were like a slaughter pen. But thank God, I want to salute those fellows. And Jacob Goodwin, I believe, was one of them that was on the shield wall, and you see where he is now. And another point we'd like to make is that Gene and I, Monica, were talking about, I've heard, I can't prove it, people told me that they were there, and they saw the buses that George Soros funded, that Gene mentioned, sent the buses in there. They had the BLM, the Antifa, all these guys getting off the bus. And one fellow got off the bus with him carrying a Nazi swastika flag. Well, what do you know? I think maybe that might have been just a plant. What do you think about that, Gene?
Oh, absolutely. They do that all the time. It's like I had a couple of my friends that went up to Washington back on January the 6th, and they said they saw now they had to park way over in Arlington, across the river in Arlington, Virginia, and try to catch the metro in there and walk, you know, 10 or 12 miles to get there to the mall. But when they got up close to the Capitol, they weren't the ones breaking out the windows, so don't send the damn SWAT teams out here jumping through the windows and jumping out of helicopters and everything. They weren't up there right on the Capitol, but they said they saw these buses that were pulling up by the Capitol and letting these people out where none of our people could get even close to the Capitol to park, and the Capitol Police then were pulling the fence barricades out of the way to let them in there. So that's another setup job that was set up to make Trump and the conservatives look bad. And most of the people I've talked to that were up there, they said it was like a big family church gathering. You know, everybody's out in the mall. Hey, how are you doing? Where are y'all from? Okay, hey, great, good to see you. Everything like that. And I'll guarantee you the ones that were tearing up stuff in the Capitol were these FBI plants. That's come out now that they had more FBI agents up there egging these people on to break into the Capitol than they had actual people doing the job. And so, you know, all of these things that conservatives get a bad name for, like the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol or Charlottesville or anything like that, it's set up ahead of time by the government to make anybody that's raising an outcry against what the government's doing, trying to make them look bad. So,
you know, Gene, that brings me back to a point Monica made. She had a good point. I wish if we were as smart as Nathan Bedford Forrest, we could plan. You know, he was famous for being there first. He picked the place, be there first, give him hell, then get the hell out of there, you know, because he knew he couldn't fight. He didn't have the numbers. I wish we could do what Monica said, organize in advance. I think the blacks call it a flash mob. We could do a flash mob in some place, raise the hell. We'd have to have a mask, of course, to disguise ourselves. Get in, do our thing, get the hell out. But you know what? And one more point. We had Tamara Goodwin on earlier, and she had three generations, a grandmother, a mother, and the grandchildren. The grandmother got a little money. She thought it would be nice to take her daughter and the girl and her granddaughters to Washington D.C. To be there for January 6th to support Trump, to support the protest, the stealing of the election. And she said it would be a great lesson in history, you know, educational. Well, she said they got treated, man, worse than criminals. They got herded off and abused. And she said everything you said, Gene, she said the same thing about that. You know, and I was also wondering, since we got Monica here, Monica has been to 1,001 protests. Monica, have you ever run into anything that even resembles the violence that we've been talking about in the just outright fraud and chicanery that Gene has just got through describing, Monica?
Well, nothing on that scale, no. But, you know, in the little town of Jasper a number of years ago, we had organized a march just around the center of town for protesting the war on Iraq. So this was quite a few years ago, and it was also before I was awake to what was really going on. But anyway, we had the permit, and so that means we had the escort. The police were at the front, the police were at the back. And then they saw that, oh, everything's going well, and on the last stretch, they basically left us, and thinking that's fine. But there was a car then that came up the tail end and ran into those of us who were at the tail end. We ended up on the hood of the car because he just took our knees out from under us, didn't injure us, didn't break any legs or anything. But I would say that was we had people there who vehemently disagreed with us, and that's what happened when the police left us. I mean, but that was nothing like this, what you've been telling us about, Gene. But, you know, on this story of these people getting out of the bus with their swastikas, and they were on the buses with the Antifa, the funded by George Soros, you remember a few years ago there was a whole bunch of incidents of graveyards being painted on the gravestones, the swastikas, and so they were desecrated. And then it turns out, after investigation, that it was some Jewish kid in his parents' basement in Israel that was organizing this, or obviously you had to have people
Absolutely.
On the ground. I think that's how it went.
Yep,
and then,
you're right.
Then this, the story just disappeared, didn't it?
It disappeared.
They never, disappeared. And people have short memories. If it doesn't exist in the media today or tomorrow, it just doesn't exist. They just forget. Yeah.
But
that's how they handle it.
Monica, you have to go back then. Who owns the media? Who owns CBS, ABC, New York Post, the New York Times, Washington Post?
That's right.
All of these, the media outlets, that's who owns it. And so, yeah, they can blow up these stories, front page, top of the fold. You know, anti-Semitism is running rampant. It's only because Trump got elected. The world is coming to an end, and they're firing up, all the gas chambers that they always bring that back anytime something happens.
Oh, yeah.
They always got to bring that back. And then when they find out it's a hoax, poof, it's gone. You know, it just disappears like it never happened. And one other thing, I'd like to finish up our horror story about Charlottesville. We were talking about that black kid that got all the sympathy because he was attacked by those evil white guys in that parking garage, first floor of that parking garage. But what they never showed was back the tape up about 30 seconds. And he ran off the sidewalk, and one of our people were walking away from him. He ran up behind this person and clubbed him over the head with a mag light. One of those big long flashlights with about 18 batteries in it or whatever, knocked this guy down and out, and then he took off running. And his friends turned around and saw what happened, and that's when they went after this guy and nailed him in that parking garage and beat the living daylights out of him because he cheap-shotted somebody from the back, and that's why they went after him. So then eventually Eddie got separated from us and Simon got separated from us. We had five people. We got three people back to the parking garage, and we were waiting on trying to get them together. And when they got back, we finally got in our van that we'd driven up there and got out of there. But like we mentioned earlier, as we were leaving town, we saw all these buses lined up, and none of our people had buses. They all came in private vehicles. And so those were the ones that Soros had paid for to bring all these thugs and these criminals in there. And we got back to the compound that night to spend the night, and needless to say, we forgot about our trip over to Monticello, and we were just glad to be alive, and had stopped on the way and had dinner and then went on back. And so it was that night then that we heard that Highway Patrol helicopter had crashed and two Highway Patrol officers had been killed, and there was a cheer that went up. And that's not a very good thing to say just right off the bat to people cheering about two law enforcement officers got killed. But they were the ones that pushed us out into that street, into that mob on Market Street. It was a Virginia Highway Patrol that did that. And I heard a couple of people say, well, it's too bad it was only two. I wish it had been 200. For what they did to us, they were the ones that were trying to get us killed. And I had somebody say, well, one of those Highway Patrol officers had gone to UT, University of Tennessee at Knoxville. And they said, you shouldn't be saying something about that. I said, well, they were criminals. I mean, if somebody's robbing a bank and they get shot while they're robbing a bank and get killed robbing a bank, why do you feel sympathy for the person breaking the law and robbing the bank? Those two guys were breaking the law. We had a permit to be there. We had the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, and they were violating the Constitution.
You nailed it, Gene. When we come back, you're just doing a marvelous job. We're not through with Charlottesville yet. We'll let us know how violent it was coming out, and then I'm sure Monica will have another question or two. People, hold on. We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear people, God bless y'all for holding on. This has been this marvelous, you know. Gene and Monica have made, Gene is always hitting on ace cylinders. But I would like to just mention the Shield Wall guys one more time. They saved us. They really did. God bless them. They certainly did. And one thing that saved me, besides, you know, God has saved me, of course, but I had brand new leather shoes on from Cabela's, nice pants, you know, khakis, a fancy white shirt. I had my newsreporter's lanyard on, just, you know, with your press credentials. They probably thought I was some kind of a nerd, a college professor up there, or some kind of news guy, because I did. I went down to this place called McIntyre Park, followed, I think his name was R.G. Miller. He was the president of the League of the South Arkansas at the time. We went down there, and we didn't get there. No sooner we got there, we had to leave because, you know, they came and broke that up through state police and the National Guard, National Emergency, et cetera, et cetera. But, Gene, if you will, finish telling us about anything you can think of, because you have did a marvelous job telling about how the hellish battle it was there in Charlottesville going to and from the parking garage. Gene, go ahead,
pal. Well, the one thing I regret that happened, that I was walking backwards and trying to keep these black animals from attacking us from the rear, and I didn't see Rich get hit and get attacked from the front. And I wish I'd have been there with that pole, that flagpole, to nail some of those people and keep them away from Rich. And he got knocked down there in the street. And if there was anything funny that happened the whole weekend, is there were some sheriff's deputies there. There was a sheriff's office there. Now, these weren't city cops. The city cops in Charlottesville are absolutely worthless. Virginia Highway Patrol were worse than worthless. But this sheriff deputy came out there and grabbed Rich and lifted him up and said, "Hey, buddy, you're too old to be doing this kind of stuff. Get over here." And so he was actually the only law enforcement officer in the whole county and the whole city that actually did their job and did what they were supposed to do was this sheriff's deputy. And got him out of there. And then we were standing there with them waiting to find out where y'all were and get everybody back together so we could get out of there. And so then we did. Like I said, we got out of there and saw the buses that Soros had paid for to bring them all in. And I'm telling you that when we were walking up the street there before all of this started and going from the parking garage, and then we got funneled into that narrow gauntlet we had to run through between the TV trucks and the narrow lane there, and seeing what we were going to have to fight our way through, I was as nervous as the first time I was when I went into combat in Vietnam. And that
was wild.
To me, that was the same type of nervous feeling in the pit of your stomach you get when you're going into a situation and going, "Holy shit, this is real live ammunition. They're firing at us, and we may not get out of this." And that was the feeling I had when I saw what we were going to have to go through just to get to the park there. And luckily, we didn't take the casualties that we would have if it had been the NVA we were fighting against. But anyway, it was bad enough. So that's about all I have. If Monica has any other questions or any other comments, and she's been through this thing too, just like we have, of being set up by the government, and the government stabbing you in the back and flat out lying to you and making up stories about you and what you've said or what the intent of what you a speech or a talk that you gave. She's been through it. She's been on the front line. And
I mean, it's my the front lines in a very sort of a different way. I've never been in a situation where I'm literally fearing that there's live ammunition coming at me, like for yourself, Gene. But we are all fighting in the same war. It is the war against us as a people. They do want us dead. And so, yeah, we're fighting on multiple fronts. One thing that this kind of ties us back into Jacob Goodwin's story and how Tamara mentioned that his story has inspired other people who then learn the truth and that they clean up their lives, especially if young people these days, you know, a lot of people, if they are not awake and they don't really see the point, and they tend to maybe get into alcohol and drugs. But when they wake up, and Alfred has talked about this a lot, he has met a lot of young people who, once they learn what is going on and they learn the truth, they suddenly are just filled with this new drive. They clean up their lives. They now have a purpose, and they join in this war. And so everybody has something to contribute. Wake up we must. If we're still asleep, we're basically the walking dead and we're zombies, but wake up we must. And so we need to wake up as many people as we can, and that's what your show does, Eddie, which is so great. And then once people realize what's at stake, that our very survival, our existence, and all this guilt tripping has been nothing but lies, then we get a new purpose in life and we can fight this. And you know, they are very afraid of us. That's why they do all the censorship. That's why they try to control the narrative. That shows us that we have not lost. All is not lost. And so when people say, oh, there's no hope, no future, and just give up, that is so absolutely far from the reality and far from the truth. We have not lost, because if that was the case, they wouldn't worry about the narrative that's out there. They wouldn't worry about censorship. But don't you think that's the case, that they are very afraid of us? So
I think you made an excellent point. If we were just you know, people that had the flat earth theory and could just be blown off as a small group of crazies, They wouldn't be censoring the internet, and they wouldn't be censoring Google and Facebook and all of these other things. They know that people are out there telling the truth, and we go to individuals and talk to individuals. And I've had so many people just say, well, we never heard that before. We never heard that before. Did that? What happened? In fact, I spent quite a time talking to a friend of ours up in Toronto a couple of years ago, right after Charlottesville happened. And they hadn't gotten any of the truth up there about what had gone on. And John was just flabbergasted to talk to somebody that was actually there and could tell him what all went on. Because I'm sure Canada picked up the news feed from the United States, which was a bunch of lies, and it wasn't their fault. They just repeated the lies they got from the news agencies down here.
Oh, yeah, the media is just as guilty here, let me tell you. Of course they picked up the news feed. I call it the CBC, I call it the Communist Broadcast Corporation. That's our...
Well, we've got CNN, the Communist News Network, so...
There you go.
We'll see which one's the worst. We'll have a contest there, eh, for Canada.
You got that right. You know, I'd just like to tell the audience one more time, you know, we're talking about different things, not just Charlottesville, because Charlottesville, Paul Fromm said he thought it was probably the watershed, you know, protest movements, demonstrations, whatever you want to call it, of all of them. You know, and last week we talked about, Pastor Rob talked about the Klan. It's this historical, we're trying to tie all this together, people. The Klans met in Washington. They had a big protest in 1925 in Washington, D.C. And Pastor Rob and his bunch were back in Washington, D.C. in 1982. That was the first time they'd had a Klan rally in D.C. since 82. Rob talked about, I never heard Gene, but the Ku Klux Klan got into a fight with the communists in Greensboro, North Carolina, and the Klan killed five communists, and they were tried twice and got out of it both times because the same thing happened there. This is another thing that fits the pattern. The Antifa, they didn't call them Antifa then. They were just flat-out communists, and they greatly outnumbered the Klan, blocked their exit where they could get out with their car. So the Klan got out. They were armed, well-armed, and they got into a fight, and they killed five communists. They got out of that. They were sued by the state, then they were sued by the feds, got out of it. And then fast forward
One point, the only people that have been tried and brought up on charges, none of the Antifas in Charlottesville had a single charge against them.
True.
For disorderly conduct, for attacking us or anything. The League of the South people, and I think Dr. Michael Hill could correct me on this, I think they're still having to go back there for a trial or a hearing or something in October. So it's
October 25th.
Huh?
That'll be October 25th.
Yeah, it's only our people that get brought before this phony judicial system that we have in this country. It's like the Soviet Union, you know. They have these phony show trials, but the verdict is already decided months and months ahead of time, and they just put on a trial to say they're having a trial. It's like all these people they've fingered all around the country and drag them in from Montana and Texas and wherever in the country and drag them off to D.C. and lock them up in the dungeon up there, and they don't bring charges against them. They don't give them a trial. They don't give them anything. They're just going to torture them until they agree to a plea bargain. And then
I'm glad you mentioned that, Gene, because you know what? The last show, and I hope you'll probably be in on the 28th of August. That'll be our last Sharpsville show. We need to talk about solutions because, Gene, and I know you'll agree, I got to make this fast because I want to get Monica back in. You know, we have no law. We're being persecuted like, you know, this is what we call the law, the government, the judicial system, the J-G-U-D-E, judicial system. They're hounding us like hyenas after a zebra herd, like lions after a zebra herd. So, people, we're going to have to do something. What we've been doing for the past 50 years ain't working. Monica, do you have any questions or anything for Gene? Because we're getting close to the end of the hour. Go ahead, Monica.
No, I just am so happy that I heard your story, and I'm glad you brought up the fact that none on the other side were persecuted, and clearly,
Not a word.
They did violence. I mean, it was so clear. So, yeah, that's an important point. Why do they just get off scot-free, in fact, get reward money? I mean, it kind of reminds me of Floyd. George Soros, the guy who funds all these people to go, the Antifas in the buses and whatnot. I mean, isn't he on the record for saying that he hated America and made it his life's mission to destroy America? People should know that. They should be aware of that.
He's doing a good job at it. I'll give him A for that. I mean, you got to give the devil his due. He's doing a good job of destroying it, that's for sure. So, all that money. And why is he not charged with racketeering or the RICO Act or something like that for putting on all these terrorists, funding all these terrorist groups?
So, I got a question to ask both of you guys, right, because we're almost out of time. You know, who on earth cannot see that these clowns, these Antifa, have never even been on trial? Who out there, like these people were supposed to be trying to wake up, how can they not see, Gene? How can they not see, Monica? We have had a complete takeover by Lucifer and Bolshevik communists. Why can't they see that?
It's a good question to end on.
Yes, be thinking about that. Well, good night, everybody. Good night, Miss Monica. Good night, Gene. Thank y'all for
good
coming
night.
On. Gene will be back
Thank
on
you,
again as long as we can get
Always
it.
Thank you,
be
Gene.
Be on the program with you.
Oh, it was my honor.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, audience. Pray for Blood River Radio. Pray for Gene, Monica, Jay. They pray for all of us. We'll be praying for y'all. Good night, everybody. People, next week will be the third installation of the Battle of Charlottesville and all the repercussions it had then, has now, and will continue to have in the future. Good night, everybody.